saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity is found to be hateful. That's the way God looks at it. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He has left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. That's what he thinks about at night when he wakes up. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. And then you get over to chapter 37, and he says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. All this crooked stuff going on now. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. These people are going to be gone pretty soon. Amen. They're going to be gone. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Amen. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he, say the scripture reference again. Sorry, I started recording late. Okay. Psalm 37, 1 through 9. Psalm 37, 1 through 9. Verse 6, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not. You know what fret means? Worry. Don't get upset. Don't fret. Fret not, he said. Don't do that, you know. And listen. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. Their day's coming. By the way, if I was that old witchy woman that's always coming out making bad announcements, and she's 87 years old, she better be careful. Amen. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. So, Brother Ron, how do I fret not? How do we do that? How do I fret not? Well, number one, I'm going to tell you, at some times in your life, you're going to fret. That's why he wrote this in the Bible. You are going to fret, and you need to know what to do when you do fret. We all worry. I don't care who you are. And if you don't worry, it's because there's something wrong with your heart. You don't care nothing about anybody or anything. Amen? So, let's admit it. Worry is a lack of faith, but we do it anyway. Don't we? Well, amen there. I was waiting on an amen.
I was worried about it.
Worry is a lack of faith, and we do it anyway. But we all do it. Everyday anxieties. Just life itself. We fret about it. I fret about traffic probably more than anything else. I hate traffic. I hate it, I hate it, I hate it, and I hate it again. I ordered me a horn. I've been looking for a horn. You know, you can buy horns that sound like anything now. A cow, a horse. But I wanted a horn that sounded like a car wreck. For these people moving down here, these foreigners moving from other lands that cut me off in traffic. And they're always in a hurry. They got to... Not you, Jeffrey. I know you'd never do that. And they ride my bumper.
Yes. Yes.
And they pull out in front of me. Like, if I act like I don't see him, he won't hit me. Is that the way they think in Michigan? Do we act like we don't see him, he won't hit you? Worse. So I ordered me a horn. I couldn't find a car wreck horn. I wanted a car wreck horn that went, when they pulled me, cut me off, it'd go, eek! But they don't make them. So I saw a train horn advertised.
Yes.
Have you ever been at a train crossing when a train comes? I've got a train horn coming for my pickup truck. That thing's so loud. Lord, forgive me. Somebody's going to have a wreck. When that guy pulls out, to pull out in front of me, I'm going to lay down there. There you go. I thought you was a preacher. I am. I'm a bad driving preacher. Amen. But we fret. Everybody has anxiety. But you know, God's given us a better way. He, in everything, He gives us a better way. You know. In Psalm 37, look at verse 3. In verse 3, He says, trust in the Lord. Do good. In Psalm 37, verse 4, He says, delight thyself also in the Lord. In verse 5, He says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. In verse 7, He says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently. In verse 8, He says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Now, that's the better way. That's the better way. God's always got a better way. Man's got a way for salvation. You do this, you do this, you do this, and when you die, you might be saved. You don't do this, you don't do this, you don't do that, and when you die, you might be saved. You get baptized, and when you die, you might get saved. You join the church, and when you die, you might get saved. And if you hold out long enough, and you're good enough, you might be able to go to heaven. But God's got a better way.
Amen.
God's always got a better way than man has. God's got a better way for salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. God's got better way for mercy. His mercy endure forever. In Proverbs chapter 3, if you'll turn over there with me, verse 5. Proverbs 3, verse 5. For salvation, for mercy, God's got a better way. For knowledge, God has a better way. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. God's got a better way for answers. God's got a better way for answers in our life. God's got better strength. Wait on the Lord, and He shall renew your strength. Now, look at Psalm 127, verse 2. Psalm 127, verse 2. God's got a better way. God's way is always better than man's way. Man's way might be dressed up, be real pretty, you know, and be real ceremonial and be real pious and all these things. But God's always got a better way. Psalm 127, verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up. You see that? And sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows. For so He giveth His beloved sleep. For a while I took Ambien. You ever took Ambien? Ambien works like LSD. It doesn't work. Really, it does. I'm serious. Regular sleep medicine is a downer. That's a barbiturate. You take a barbiturate and it works on your central nervous system. And that's why it'll put you to sleep. But when you wake up, you don't feel that good about it. You kind of feel hungover, drowsy, you know. But Ambien, it works like LSD. It cuts your brain off. It turns off part of your brain. The conscious part, it just clicks a switch like LSD. It turns the conscious part. See, when you're on LSD, you're living in dreamland. It's a dream. The conscious part of you is asleep and the unconscious part of you is awake. And so, Ambien works like that. And it's wonderful. You can take it and sit still for about 10 minutes and you'll go to sleep. And 8 hours later, you'll wake up and feel like you woke up when you was a kid. I'm serious. But if you take it a lot, like I did, it starts affecting your mental, you think people's talking about you. Yeah, you get paranoid, you get ill, you just get ill. You know how you get ill when you don't get enough sleep? And I had to quit taking it because I was ill all the time. And Jimmy's back there nodding his head like he did that too. It just make you angry and ill. And that's man's way to get rest. But God's got a better way.
Yeah, that's right.
God's got a better way for rest. You wait on the Lord. You seek Him, His face. Hey, you honor Him. You bless Him and He'll give you rest in your soul and your heart and your mind and your spirit and everything. God will give you rest, see. And, lack of faith causes us not to get the rest that we need.
Amen.
Because it causes us to fret. You ever talk to anybody that says, I can't sleep? I don't get no sleep. I just can't sleep. And there's nights I wake up just like somebody just spoke to me and I woke up and I can't go back to sleep to save my life. Y'all ever do that?
Yeah.
Well, I found out what to fix it. The other day, we went down to 40 Acre Rock. And we traversed up and down those hills and all over that place. And I was so tired when I got home. When I went to bed, I slept 8 solid hours. I did not wake up all night long. I was wore out, as they say in South Carolina. Wore out. Not worn. Don't put an N on there. Wore. I was wore out. Amen. And I slept like a baby. Now you do what God wants you to do. And you obey Him, and God's got a better way for you to get rest. Look at Matthew 11:29 for the spiritual rest. Matthew 11:29. Well, we'll start with verse 28. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You know what he's saying? Jesus is saying, I want you to, a yoke. You know, that's what you put around your oxen or your mule, you know, to pull the wagon, all the straps hooked to it and everything and the wooden, and so it pulls you. And so that's how the ox works, pulling that wagon, you know. And so Jesus is saying, your yoke is heavy and you're not getting no rest because of it. He says, give me your yoke. Give that to me. And then I'm going to give you my yoke. He said, because my yoke is light.
Amen.
It's light.
Yes.
And he said, it's easy. You know why? There's nothing attached to it. There's nothing attached to his yoke.
Yes.
No. He gives you rest. A yoke's made to pull, to work. Jesus saves you. The work is finished.
Amen. Amen.
He did the work.
Yes.
You gave him your unfinished work that was a burden to you, your lost condition,
yes,
trying to be good enough, trying to do good works, never feeling accomplished,
yes,
never feeling like you could rest in the Lord. And that day that he saved you, he took that old heavy work yoke off of you and he put it on himself.
Yes.
And he said, now here, take this one. There ain't nothing attached to this one because I've already done the work. Amen.
Yeah.
And so his rest is easy.
Amen.
But see, our problem is we like to work.
Yeah.
Well, most of us do. Most of us like to work. Amen. My wife is a workaholic. She is. She'll work from sun up to sundown. She'll work till time to go to bed if you let her. She's a workaholic. I think Sister Betty probably is too. That's how Ed stays so thin. She works in the dead. But some people just don't want to work at all. But most of us who seek satisfaction, seek rest for our souls, for our spirit, for our mind, seek that peace of God, we think we have to do something to get it. And you can't do anything to get it.
Right.
It's paid for.
Yes.
It's finished.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do that will add to your peace in God. Yeah. You say, well, I got to go apologize to all these people. That's step number 12. I don't know. It might be 13. I don't know what step you take. I said, no, I'm still on step one. I turned to Jesus.
Amen.
And I gave it to him. And he fixed it.
Yes.
And I don't feel the burden to go seek everybody I sinned against and apologize to them. And by the way, I don't have to, because when I quit sinning against them, they went and sinned against somebody else. And we'd never finish the chain, okay? So what I did the day I got saved, he took all that guilt, he took all of that fretting, he took all that worry about heaven and hell and good enough and not good enough and good works and bad works and religion and no religion, and he took every bit of that and he took it off of me. Now think about this. Sixth pew on the left-hand side, Eastside Baptist Church, Marchfield, 1978, during the invitation, I asked him, I said, Lord, if you help me move my foot, I'll go down there. It's the first honest prayer I'd ever prayed. And I found myself going down the aisle, weeping and crying like a little baby, embarrassing myself. I was crying. But as I walked, I felt the burden being lifted.
Amen.
As I wept, I felt the burden being lifted. And by the time I got to the front, I didn't know it.
Amen.
But I was already saved.
Yeah.
Now, they told me how to call on the Lord and be saved. They gave me scripture, and that gave me assurance.
Right.
But he took the burden off. As soon as I gave it to him, he took it, and I've been at rest in salvation ever since. I've never worried about my salvation since that day. Not one time. Now, I'm not bragging on me. I'm just telling you, I'm resting in that. If I die and go to hell, they're going to have to air condition. Yeah, because God can't lie, and he promised to take me to heaven if I trust him. And I gave him my heavy yoke that day, and to end up in hell, I'd have to take the yoke back on. But he took mine, and he gave me his, and I've been resting in that ever since. Now, have I been a great Christian? No, 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 no. No. Have I fretted about being a good Christian? Yes, I have. Yes, I have. Yes, I have. But I've never took that yoke of unbelief back
Amen.
On.
Amen.
It's settled. I'm at rest. Have I fretted about being a better servant? I have. I have. I do that. Have I fretted about not being a good enough husband or father or grandfather or father-in-law or brother or son or pastor or preacher or teacher or soul winner? Yes, I have. I fretted about every bit of that. But every time I fret about it, I give it back to him. I say, here, you carry this, Lord. I'm not supposed to be carrying this.
Yes.
I'm supposed to have your yoke, and you said it's light and easy. I'm not worried about it anymore. I'm not worried about salvation. Now, I'm not worried about those other things. Sometimes I fret to myself, am I good enough, but I never to be called a father or a husband or whatever, but I never fret about, am I going to hell because of it? No, I don't fret about that because I can't go to hell. I'm not going to hell. Now, what I worry about is more about me than anything else. I want to be better.
Yeah.
I think I lost some of you. I better go on. Now, Psalm 37, verse 5, he said, commit thy way to the Lord. Commit thy way. Well, the way to stop worrying or fretting is commit thy way to the Lord. We're supposed to do it all for the glory of God. Turn to Acts 27, verse 30, and I'm just about through. Acts 27, verse 30, you know the story. Paul is on the ship. He's being taken to Rome. They've run into a storm. He told them not to go. They wouldn't listen to him. The captain of the ship wouldn't. And now their ship's falling apart out in a storm in the ocean. And the whole ship thinks, everybody on the ship thinks they're going to die. And so that's what's going on here in Acts chapter 27. Look at verse 30. Well, 29. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks. See, they're fearing, not him. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. In other words, that was at night and they were just hoping to see daylight. They anchored it down in the storm. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, they're about to go overboard. When they had let down the boat into the sea under the color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. In other words, they fly a flag and tell you what's going on to other people. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, those people guarding him, except these abide in the ship, unless they stay in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Now, you know they were from South Carolina. They said, let her fall off. Y'all see that? Yeah. These were Southern soldiers.
Amen.
Now, I'm not going to read that whole story, but I want you to know this. God had told the Apostle Paul, you're going to preach to kings and princes and all these great leaders and stuff. He could not die until that happened.
Amen.
And he knew that.
Yes.
But they ran into that storm after he had told them that God had showed him not to leave port, stay there, there's a storm. They did it anyway, because what does a Baptist preacher know about a ship anyway, they said. So they let her go. And when they got out there, the storm hit and it tore the ship all to pieces, and they threw all the supplies overboard, and they threw all the tackle overboard, and they threw everything to lighten up the ship. It still didn't help. So they got close to land somehow, and they dropped four anchors to hold that ship right in place. And when you do that, you're either going to live or die, because that water, the storm's going to tear that ship all to pieces probably, but at least you'll know where you're at. The Apostle Paul tells the soldiers who are guarding him, the Roman soldiers who are taking him to Rome. By the way, if he escaped, they would have to take his punishment. And he told them, he said, now those sailors are letting the lifeboats down. If they leave the ship, you will not be saved and neither will they. He's saying you need to obey them. So the centurions, the Roman soldiers had been around Paul so much, they knew God was on Paul. So they believed him and ran over and cut the ropes on the lifeboats. Can you imagine what the sailors said to the soldiers when they cut the lifeboats and let her fall? He said, let her fall. Can you imagine what those soldiers said? Of course, being a Roman soldier, they weren't going to say a whole lot to them. But see, Psalm 37:5 says, commit your way unto the Lord. Commit your way. Here's what Paul was saying. I've committed it to God, and I'm not going to die on this ship. I'm not going to drown in that water. Now, if you're going to read the rest of the story, they did eventually get off the ship, but every one of them had to stay with Paul, every one of them. And they all landed on an island, and nobody died.
That's right.
Because they obeyed what God told Paul. And Paul committed himself to what God said. So if we commit ourselves to the Lord, we don't have to fret. After they got off the boat, they're building a fire with sticks, and a snake, poisonous snake, bit the man. He didn't die. They just said they threw him off in the fire. And the natives said he must be a god, and they wanted to worship him. And he said, no, I'm not a god. But he told them about God. He committed it to the Lord. Now, you know what? If he'd have drowned, he'd have drowned trusting the Lord. He committed it then. And by the way, because he committed it to the Lord, the soldiers did too.
Yeah.
Who didn't even know God. And it shocked you how much your commitment affects other people. When you stop wringing your hands and worrying about everything, oh, we're all going to die, we're all going to drown, the ship's going down. When you quit doing that and say, well, live or die, I'm the Lord's, I'm putting His hands.
Amen.
Other people will look at you and listen to you and say, there's something different about this person.
Yeah.
There's something different. I'm going to follow them around a little bit. That's what Roman soldiers said. I'm going to follow that guy. We cutting those ropes.
Amen.
I love it.
Yes.
We don't need to fret. We'll commit it to the Lord. We'll trust the Lord. We'll rest in the Lord. And guess what? God has never failed.
Amen.
God has never failed. If you'll just settle it once and for all in your heart that whatever happens is God's will.
Yeah.
And trust Him. Trust Him. You know, you can live well or you can die well, either way, once you commit it to Him.
Amen.
So, when Nasty Nancy comes on and makes an announcement tomorrow that she's overthrowing the government, I'm just going to trust the Lord.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Amen. When Chunky Chuck gets on there and he says he's going to help her, I'm just going to trust the Lord. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. If Donald Trump turned out to be the devil incarnate tomorrow and he came on and said something stupid, I would just trust the Lord.
Yes.
You see, they're all going to pass away.
Yes.
And all these things we fret about is going to pass away.
Yeah.
And listen, if you live long enough, you'll outlive all those things you fretted over. Sometimes I go, I wasted a lot of worry.
Yeah.
I could have saved that for another time. Let's just leave tonight and trust Him. Can we do that?
Amen.
In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He will direct thy paths. Amen. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's stand. Father, thank You for Your inerrant, inspired, infallible Word. And I pray tonight, God, You'd encourage us as You already have. Let us feel Your power, Your presence, Your leading. And Lord, let us remember that Your burden is light. Amen. And Your yoke is easy. We don't have a whole lot of work to do. We just got to trust You. And thank You for taking that old heavy yoke off of us of worry and fret and fear and failure and all these things. God, You took that and You finished the work on the cross. So now all we have to do is rest in You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing song number something.
300. Turn to page 300.